So happy Valentine's Day. And also with you, she says. Yeah, it doesn't quite fit, does it? It's a secular, funny kind of holiday, I've always thought, that we mark on this day, this celebration of love. And it's a very strange time of the year, I think, to celebrate it, too. In the Middle Ages in Europe, apparently, it was around this time of year that people started to hear the mating songs of birds in spring. Spring. In February. I guess that's the way it is in Europe. Like the desperate chirrup of the robin that we don't hear in these parts until, what, June? Early June? Hey? Yeah. So, and they thought it would be a good time at this time of year in Europe anyways to come out of their winter hibernation and start writing love letters to each other. Like the Duke of Orléans, who in 1415 wrote to his wife from imprisonment in the Tower of London that he was lovesick for her, his very gentle Valentine. In Canada, of course, we're still pretty firmly in the grip of winter, aren't we? Especially today. They said it was going to warm up, but then they said it's going to warm up tomorrow. But now it's not till Tuesday, and I'll believe that when we get there. So we have the weather as it is here, but we have the traditions that sort of just evolve over time and spread as cultures spread. So we too write notes of love, beginning as children with these sweet cards and those yummy candies. We send flowers to our lovers. We go out for special dinners. We follow them up with chocolates and other delights. And it's a celebration of love in all of its manifestations today. So I wish you again, happy Valentine's Day. Yet, I don't know, maybe this greeting sounds a little bit trite to you, kind of lightweight. Maybe the word cheesy or corny might even come to mind, as it comes for some. Valentine's Day might have some historical roots, yet it feels like a secular holiday that is perpetuated by Hallmark and the flower industry for their own profit. To tell you the truth, I feel a little bit uneasy even acknowledging this holiday in the pulpit. It's out of place somehow in the church. Even if its ultimate root was the commemoration of at least two martyrs of ancient Rome, both named Valentinius, both of whom were beheaded for their miraculous acts of healing and their witness to Christ. Yeah, you heard that. They were beheaded. That's what we're commemorating today. Martyrs called Valentinus. You don't hear about that on any Valentine's Day card. You don't usually mention that story to children. Apologies to those of you children who are still with us right now. But can you really imagine it? Like, roses are red, violets are blue, Valentinus was beheaded. But I hope not you. Yeah, you don't hear that kind of thing, right? It's all hearts and bunnies and warm, fuzzy feelings that are marketed in this modern celebration. And I think that's why it feels out of place in the church, really. Because church is a place where we tell the whole truth about God in this world. We tell the whole truth. We do not come to church, surprised as it might seem to some, just for warm, fuzzy feelings. This is not a place where we flinch away from the hard realities of sin and death. This is a place where we proclaim the empty tomb, but not without the cross. And so that means that we in the church know that love is so much more than what is usually acknowledged on this day. Love is patience and kindness and gentleness in wishing the very best for another person. But it is also commitment and endurance and suffering and telling the truth. Johnny Cash knew a lot more about love than Hallmark when he sang, "Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire." And it goes on, we know, "I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire." Love is a ring of fire. It's portrayed that way in ancient iconography. You see icons of Elijah's chariot. It's truly a ring of fire. Some of the theologians have said that God is love. And for those that reject God's love in the end, they're going to experience that ring of fire as flames that burn. That's where our language about hell comes from. But ultimately, it's God's love. It's only God's love. It's a ring of fire. Our readings today show us a great deal about love in all of its depth and complexity. Love is the passion for truth and justice and right relations that gripped the prophet Elijah and would not let him go. As the hymn says, "O love that will not let me go." Love is the force that drove him to confrontation with the authorities and the power that enabled him to heal. Love came to Elijah as a still small voice when he was alone and afraid, calling him gently back to community and giving him purpose in life again. Love consumed his life and took him in a fiery chariot at the end. Love is the devotion of Elisha for his mentor, Elijah. Ever since the prophet had found him in the field behind his oxen and laid his mantle over Elisha's shoulders and called him to come and be more than who he had been before, Elisha had followed through thick and thin. And when Elijah's time on earth came near to its end, Elisha stayed with his beloved master, who was a father to him. It was because of love that Elisha tore his clothes in sorrow when Elijah was taken from him and he wept. How familiar that scene is, as we heard it read this morning. Elisha going with his master Elijah in Elijah's last days and hours on earth. Any of you who have sat with a loved one at the end will know that holy stillness that can descend, and the love that keeps you there as a companion, and the love that breaks your heart when they go. Love compelled Paul to renounce his former ways of violence, to follow the crucified and the risen one. He had a vision of Jesus, as we know, on the road to Damascus. And simply put, he fell in love. For this love, he was ready to abandon all and follow. For the sake of this love, Paul proclaimed a gospel of grace for the nations of this world. A gospel, he said, that he was willing to suffer and die for. The God of light and love, he said, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul beheld God's love for him, and he in turn was transfigured by it. Love transfigures. The face of Jesus Christ is the face of love, as James and John witnessed on the mountain. In a dazzling vision of glory, they saw Moses and Elijah. In other words, the law and the prophets, the whole Word of God. All of it pointing and deferring to Jesus. They heard the same voice that had spoken at his baptism, naming Jesus the Beloved One. Jesus, in his words, tells us the whole of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And in his deeds, he shows us the message of the prophets. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus lived and died and rose again in and by love. It's all and only ever about love. Not only the sweet and the innocent love of children on Valentine's Day, wishing each other joy. Not only the passionate love of lovers, also the love that is willing to suffer and die for the beloved. Passionate, powerful, mature love that can move heaven and earth. Jesus shows us God's love that will not even stop at death to rescue and redeem a lost humanity. So this day, we celebrate love as we wish each other a happy Valentine's Day. It's all, though, only ever about love. Discovering God's love for us. Manifesting that love to the people around us. I'll tell a story I've told before in conclusion. It was that same disciple, Peter, James, and John, joined Jesus on the mountaintop. Tradition names that same John the beloved disciple, who became John the Evangelist. John, who alone among the apostles lived to a ripe old age and did not suffer the martyrdom of an early death. And tradition tells that as that John neared the end of his life in Ephesus, he was the heart and the center and the preacher of a community that gathered around him. So he preached regularly. But at the age of 98, he had grown weak in his body. He wasn't able to stand up anymore to preach. And so his friends would gather him up, and they would carry him to the midst of the assembly, where he would preach a very short sermon. He'd lift his hand, and in that quavering voice, he would say, "Little children, love one another." And then he'd lower his hand. His friends would gather him up again and take him back to his room. And so it would go. Every time the assembly would gather, his friends would gather him up gently and carry him to the midst of the people. He'd raise his hand and he'd say, "Little children, love one another." One day they asked him, "Teacher, why do you always say this? You only ever say one thing." And he replied, "Because it is the Lord's commandment. And if it alone is kept, it is sufficient." Little children, happy Valentine's Day. Love one another.